from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Going through a bit of a weird moment, I guess, this week. I'm single again, so that's the more surprising thing, I think. You know, you go from being in a relationship to not being in a relationship, and you try to figure out what the real difference is, I suppose. I still haven't figured it out, so...
It hasn't sunk in, I'm imagining.
Yeah, well, you know what? As soon as the prospect of no more regular sex finally does sink in, and you get that crushing feeling of wondering, can I ever do it again?
Do what again?
Get sex again.
Wow, that's a pretty... I don't worry that much about it. There's never that narrative.
Well, that's because...
I know I can trick someone.
Yeah, well, forgive me for having those impossible standards of mine. No, the idea is more like I spent so much of my youth single, and this was not a choice. This was not as though I was some kind of Buddhist monk here. This was... choiceless singlehood for many years, so you still have that, I guess, pathetic younger self that goes like, "You can't do this, me. You'll never get a girl, me."
Oh yeah, that negative Nelly living in everybody's head. He's such a downer, isn't he?
He is a downer. Why does he exist in the first place? Let me tell you, there is no evolutionary advantage to having that little motherfucker in the back of your head saying, "Doubt yourself, buddy."
Oh, trust me, there's many advantages to having that little voice going, "Don't do that or you'll fail."
No,
because
you should not have that voice with girls, because that's this bad. That's bad.
Mm.
I keep remembering all those missed opportunities because you just figure. Why would she want to talk to me? Stupidest question ever. That is the worst question a person can ask themselves ever.
Yeah, that's a bit much. I agree with you there.
And you know what? Like, okay, obviously I'm not going to say the doubting yourself as in don't climb that tree that looks really rickety or don't go in that building. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's the right application.
Because that you never know what's going to be in that building.
That's true. That's true. It's but, you know, obviously it's going to carry on sometimes with your social interactions, but... I think it's when the social interaction is that it's usually typically really wrong. I mean, it's more on the side of panic for the most part. We are panicky fucking animals. It's like, oh no, someone might not like me. Ah!
Yep.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if there's a lot of other animals out there that really worry that much.
About whether or not everybody else likes them or not.
Yeah, we're a little psychotic for that.
We just want to be loved. I can dig it.
You know, talking about being loved, I put up a bonus show. This Tuesday. And the idea was that I wanted to ask people who wanted to fill out surveys to do so in exchange for the bonus show. Because I figured, well, you know, people want to listen to the bonus show, but not everybody can pay. And I want to figure out those people that can't pay, why can't they pay? I thought that was probably a pretty smart idea, just at least to get people to talk to me. But, you know, in doing so, and part of the reason why I did this was because I have that presentation on Sunday at that PodCamp Montreal thing. Hopefully any of you guys listening in Montreal is gonna go there. Go to the site to get the details because they're not in front of me and you're probably not going to come.
Meet the whole gang. Meet Jake and Ryan. I'll be the one with the
camcorder. Jeff's
going to
be there too.
He's going
to have to be there now.
Yeah, it's true. We would kill him if he wasn't there.
I know. I'm like, look, people are starting to associate Jeff with the show, so... He has to sort of accept that he has a role here, and if he's not comfortable with that, that's too bad.
And actually, for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be Jeff or some combination of Jeff and something else, because I'm going to be away.
It'll probably be Jeff if I can force and twist his arm to do it. And we might have to just bang out like a whole bunch of them right in a row.
Maybe after seeing all the potential PodCamp groupies, he'll see the light.
Yeah, I'm not counting on too many groupies showing up. But the great thing about sending out surveys was just being able to hear directly from you guys. And there's a couple. I made a few decisions for this show based on some of your responses. Because one of the questions that I asked was, "What is the thing that you dislike the most about the show?" Now, what do you think that was?
Please do more research. Please,
well, you know what?
That
fell as number two.
Number two?
That was number two.
That's crazy. It's kind of like you find out, what is it? What kills more, smoking or car accidents?
Smoking.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of surprising.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot more. it's like 100,000 or something insane. I mean, 40,000 car accidents.
But here's actually an example of why we can't do more research, because I just asked that question. You didn't have any time to research it.
It's a good thing that I already knew.
The program that we usually lay out is we'll talk about this article, and we look over the article, and we read it up, and we do a little bit of digging. Above and beyond that, though, it usually gets pretty hairy. We get off on tangents of tangents. It's difficult to know what the hell you're going to be talking about on any given show.
The whole thing is people didn't actually mind that. So, I mean, the research was part of it. Obviously, people are going to be like, God, I wish you could always be right, and we don't take that position. We're going to make mistakes. And if they're pointed out, we will correct it on the show. I don't care if it's permanently on, you know, a podcast somewhere that I was wrong in my life. Oh, no. Being wrong is so horrible. I'm like, being wrong is just part of it. It's no big deal. You don't need to have some kind of attitude saying, just make sure you're right every time. We're just going to have a conversation about religion. For the most part, it's not too bad. But, you know, once in a while we do stumble. But the number one complaint was actually people were saying that they didn't like the strong advertising, the kind of like the hard sell.
Mm.
And I figured out why, because most of the people that said that they really didn't like the hard sell were people that had lower income brackets and didn't spend as much money online. And, you know, even the people that make a lot of money also don't spend a lot. So you're usually, you know, dealing with a lot of low margins. People can't afford it. It's a low part of their priorities, and they're just, stop bugging me about it. I would if I could, is basically that whole attitude. So there's still an endearing element to it. It's like, we love you guys, but stop fucking trying to sell me on this shit. I'm not going to buy it. And you know what? I can understand, respect that, which is why I've taken the decision that we're no longer going to hard sell the bonus podcast. It's not necessary. By now, I mean, you've heard about it, and I'm just going to make sure that it's more prominent on the site. Fuck you if you don't like me writing about it. I'm still going to write about it. Got to make money, bitches. But yeah, no more really hard selling. It's not necessary anyways, because what I'm trying to do now, my new focus, since reading all these surveys and since doing research on different ways to go about monetizing things, I'm trying to think about new ways to be able to change it from simply a money exchange for membership to maybe something else, like a labor exchange, or for filling surveys, or maybe being able to find sponsorship from other companies that, you know, you get an ad sponsored version if you go that route. I mean, there's a few options that I want to try out.
He's a mad scientist doing crazy experiments.
I am a little bit of a mad scientist, yeah. But you know what? That's the whole the internet is a very young medium, and a lot of people are still trying to figure out how to make money, me included. I want to do this for a living. I don't want to do it kind of like as one of those bullshit hobbies, because you guys remember what it was like when I was doing this as a hobby, don't you? Fucking one show every like a month. Yeah. When you work 9 to 5 and you have to do a bunch of stuff, it's very unpleasant to try to come back and feel energized to do a show.
Anyways, enough about your sad life. You want to talk about God, or you want to talk some more about some surveys?
Before we move on, what I want to talk about is something that probably everybody already knows, and that's like, what did people like about the show? Because that was another big question that we had. I mean, we had some intuition about what people like about the show, but I mean, There's not always a lot of two-way dialogue that goes along with you guys. You know, your podcast listeners, the podcast world is still a very, you know,
one-directional.
It's very web 1.0, you know. It's maybe in the future there's going to be some kind of mass conversations and going on in real time. I don't know. Sort of like Twitter, but with voice. Wouldn't that be crazy?
And like, they'll put it out over the airwaves, and you can buy some kind of device that you tune it in. And you could, like, phone in and stuff, and it'd be live.
You're listening to the Jacob Channel.
They'd be building gigantic antennas, and they'd be...
Don't know. That actually sounds like it was a popular mechanic written in the 1950s, estimating what year 2000 would be like. Mm-hmm. That would be giant broadcasting towers. Boop, 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 boop. Broadcasting our thoughts in the year 2003.
We estimate by 2010 they will be 4 miles tall.
Okay, the thing that people like the most about the show, I think, is from what I understand from the survey, is they like the conversational dialogue. They like the fact that we're, you know, not stuck up our own asses, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Is that respectful? Something like that? No? Okay, probably not. We're not respectful. And the thing that I got the most, this is what I'm picking up from you guys, and this is what I'm going to make sure that I have at least always a little segment for that, is that I think to a large degree most of you listen to it because you want to vent out. You know, something happened, maybe at work, maybe around the home, where somebody said something really fucking stupid and you couldn't say anything and you're like, God damn it, how am I going to vent? I need to vent right now. And, you know, you don't have any, you don't have access to Metallica or something. Or maybe you want something a little bit more highbrow. Apparently we're more highbrow than heavy metal. But we're the vent ragers, you know? People, they channel some of that anger through us and feel, you know, good through that. So I suppose it's kind of like a drug based on aggression. That's what we do. So that's kind of the angle. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I can dig it.
This ain't hate speech. It's just like, why the fuck are these people so retarded? Like, what the hell? Speaking of retarded, I think that we should segue to talking about a movie that we watched last night called Time Changer. And do you want me to run through the plot or do you want to do it?
Well, just as an understanding point, this is a... Well, explain to me the fun. This is a hardcore, fundamental Christian film. It's a fiction film. It's not a documentary or anything like that.
It's done by a director that had done kind of a similar Rapture-esque kind of style movie. This is actually more whimsical and positive than the messages in his last movie. I forget what it's called. Outer Reach or doesn't matter. It's a piece of shit. Probably most people didn't see it. The only reason I know about it is because Jeff suggested it, and I don't even want to know where he heard about it, okay? But his secrets are his secrets. Anyways, I'm going to try to explain the plot of Time Changers the best way that I can. It's 1890, and there is a Bible professor at some kind of college who writes a manifesto of some kind. And in his manifest, basically, he writes that the values of the church need to be proclaimed and exalted, without necessarily referencing Jesus or Christianity in general. They're like, the morals are good. We should teach the morals even to people who don't have the same kind of religious beliefs.
It's basically the whole attitude of we should teach the morals without the Jesus part because not everybody likes the Jesus part. So it's basically kind of like the secularization of the morality of things. And
that's the implication, yeah.
Then another stuffy freaking doctor is saying...
Well, you know who the doctor is, first of all. The Dr. Guy character was that Captain Guy in the Love Boat. That's why he looked familiar. You know, the Love Boat. He was the captain.
Wow.
Okay, so the captain of the Love Boat decides that, no, he doesn't want to endorse the book because they need to have everybody on the board endorse his book. And everyone's at first is like, yes, yes. Then the good captain walks in and he starts just talking. He goes on a fucking tirade. It's like 3 minutes long about... To disassociate Jesus with this will be a horrible thing, and you just need to believe me. You can't do this. And at first, everyone's like, oh, well, he's just a crackpot, and he's being unreasonable. So he's made to look crazy at the beginning half of the movie. Now...
But then it turns out that he has a time machine.
He has a fucking time machine.
So show them who's crazy.
Yeah, and it's probably the worst time machine you've ever seen in your life. Like, a couple boat oars and some weird switches here. I mean, the time machine in the novel, The Time Machine, sounded more complex than this motherfucking thing. You know, a little bit more imagination. I actually think they stole most of the design ideas from the original Time Machine book, probably to avoid any kind of lawsuits or who knows what.
But anyways, to sum up the rest of the film, the Love Boat captain sends the author forward in time to our days to see how...
To see what the world would be like if they disassociated Christ from everything. Basically, we're going to send you to the secular future.
And it's funny because they send us to now. And,
well, 2003
is
when it was made.
And it's just a nightmare. It's just horrible.
Actually, what's funny is it's really not, because it is very much like today. Like, he meets people. They all seem very friendly. He goes to church and everyone seems very nice. But there's a couple scenes where all of a sudden he starts realizing that the world is an evil place. The main scene with the crazy music, because I have to admit that the score was fucking decent, okay? The score is the only thing about this movie that's decent. But he's listening to this, oh, mirror, oh, mirror, all this kind of fucking music going on in the background watching a hotel room TV. Now, I can only imagine what that man saw But then I guess he decides that...
he's going to have a pretty big hotel bill, I'm thinking.
he's going to pay it with gold doubloons!
I went to a hotel in the future and I watched an entire night of pornography. I'm shocked and appalled.
I believe I was witnessing the last days. Here's something I love, though. Before he sends him into the future, the guy, the time machine guy, the love boat captain... He's saying, well, the divorce rates are skyrocketing. Why, it's 5%, and children are being more disrespectful. I'll tell you what, when your biggest problems in your society is that the divorce rate is higher and kids are mouthy, that's pretty good.
Worry about it when everybody's just murdering each
other.
Yeah,
that's a bad thing. You know, murdering each other, particularly when they're murdering each other, I don't know, for their religious beliefs.
But it's funny. This movie seemed to be made for the kind of Christian that speaks, like, brings up verses on a regular basis. Whenever you're talking about morality, they'll spout actual gospel.
Well, David's Corinthians said this, blah, blah, blah.
Turn to Romans for this solution.
Turn to it? No. My answer to you? Read another book. You know, look at my library shelf. I read a few more. Why don't you come back when you read, like, more than one? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you got to read, like, a zillion. Just read a couple more.
But the good thing about this movie is it's actually enjoyable to watch in a it's-so-bad-it's-good kind of way. You'll understand.
Except for the first half, which seems to have the same theme, like, repeated twice, where he goes to the guy's house... Because apparently, I guess, I mean, it kind of feels at the time when he invites him over to his house that he's going to rape him, though. Like, it just really honestly feels that way. He's like, you must come. I cannot explain. Come to my house. You'll know more there. Hey, why is there all this wine and this fucking viola music? What's happening here? You must come in the bedroom. You must.
I don't know. I think you saw an entire homosexual under...
Well, just from the main actor guy, the guy with the beard... He was either overselling it, or I don't think he's ever really seen what a straight guy is supposed to act like. It, with his very fancy kind of moves, and be like, oh, my goodness. And it's like, whoa, buddy, easy, take it easy.
Yeah, but you got to understand, like, bad actors, sometimes that's just how they act. And that's probably what's setting off the gaydar, is just
their bad acting is... No, come on now.
I don't know.
Gaydar's off. I even checked his IMDb, no spouse. I don't know.
But yeah, I would definitely recommend. I think you can find it floating around the internet in one form or another.
So, you know what I love? Okay, here's a part that I wanted to talk about in length. Was the fact that right at the end, he has to go back to the alleyway where he was originally transported. By the way, him being transported on today's world, it's not even a special effects. It's a pan away from a fucking garbage can. Like, congratulations, special effects department. You nailed it. You nailed it. Anyways, with your fish out of water tale here, basically at the end he has to go back to the same alley. Who cares why? But essentially, these two cop guys, secularists, I guess, try to stop him and say, well, you're coming downtown, you need to answer a few questions. Because guess what? He gives people an alibi and that name does not exist in their system. And they're doing their job. They're like, who the fuck are you? You're not telling people who you are.
Yeah, it's a police state, man. They got that part right. Police state. Whatever. Distrust the government.
Okay, fine. Anyways, the guy was a bit of a nut job, too. I would have probably locked him up. But right before he's taken away, he decides that he's going to lie. And you know what? This is funny because you see a lot of Christians do this, is that they figure that if they lie for Jesus... It's all good.
Oh, you're looking too much into an innocent, funny joke.
But look. It's not a funny joke when it happens all the fucking time. Where a person's like, well, it's okay if I pretend to be an atheist and go on all these sites spewing all this really fucking horrible shit because I'm doing it for God. There are Christians engaged in this kind of activities all the time. And I have to just wonder, like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Do you think that you are morally righteous in doing this? Honestly, I'm not going around disguised as a Christian doing that shit. Grow up. Grow the fuck up.
I think you've got some unresolved issues that you're imprinting onto this film.
I'm not going to say that they're sending a message, but the reason look at it before, if you say it's a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, he's like, "Well, God's coming to take me away," and then all of a sudden he gets teleported back to the future. So the two guys remain there saying, like, "Oh no, I think we missed the rapture," which is another one of those bullshit messages where it says, "Well, you know, you're only a fake atheist. There are no atheists in foxholes. Once the rapture comes, that'll show you non-believers.
Yeah, the movie actually has a whole bunch of those nice little jabs that are very enjoyable. That's the whole thing. You'll get a real kick out of it. And actually, do you want to talk about this quickly? Year One. What was it called?
Yeah, Year One. With Jack Black and Michael Cera. Did you say Cena?
Cena. I get confused. Wrestlers, little kids.
Wow, they're like the complete opposite body types. I would love to see the two of them together.
Yeah, and like maybe like some kind
John
of...
John Cena and
fucking
Michael
Cera. They could do a remake of the Schwarzenegger-DeVito movie, Twins.
Yes, I like it. It makes no sense, so I like it.
But yeah, let's talk about this, because it actually has a very hilarious... religious centering. But
It's
very tongue-in-cheek, kind of like, does God exist? All this religion stuff is bullshit. Very hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be one of those caveman movies where, you know, it's almost like the Flintstones kind of bad, where they're saying, well, let's just go back in the beginning and let's have fun with this. We're going to show them...
run away from dinosaurs.
Yeah, this is going to be hilarious. I was like, if it's like this, I'm going to turn this motherfucker off instantly. But, and when it first started, because they were like, it starts off, I guess, in kind of a Garden of Eden thing, and he eats an apple, forbidden apple. So at first I was like, oh no, is this going to be one of those horrible moral parables?
Heaven Almighty type God talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what I was afraid of. But no, they kept it funny. They kept it funny. It was almost like a good version of the movie, the 10 Rules or something like that. It was a movie, or just 10, I think, is what it was called. It was supposed to be a movie based on the 10 Commandments. It was terrible. Nobody watched it. I don't even remember its name. It was that awful.
More research needed.
Nah, don't even research that part. There have been plenty of movies based on sort of biblical stories, or at least partial parables. But this one is actually enjoyable. I must say, I laughed. And I was coming into this skeptical, people. Coming into this very skeptical. But anybody who reads the Bible and who has read it and dislikes it as much as we do would very much like this movie. Especially pay attention to Hank Azaria's Abraham. He is bang on. Bang on crazy. Like, you know Abraham was that fucking crazy.
Yep.
It's quite wonderful.
Yeah, just endless religious references just making fun of it. It's awesome. Really, can't say enough. thumbs up. Go see it.
Okay, now it's going to be a short show today. Like I said, we got to prepare for the presentation. We are going to be taping it, though, so you guys are going to have kind of a bit of an extra bonus edition, the video format.
Yeah, so if you guys aren't sick already of us just talking nonstop about this stuff, we're going to have another show where we talk nonstop about it.
Well, okay, I know that it's supposed to be an atheism show, but remember, I mean, you guys are podcasting fans, too. I mean... what podcasting fan's not going to be at least somewhat interesting by what the hell's going on in podcasting? Because is it one of those mediums that is reaching kind of like its apex? Is it going to grow into something bigger? There's a lot of kind of questions evolving with this medium, and we got to figure that shit out.
I plan on cashing out and getting some kind of awesome TV show down the road. That's my plan.
You want a TV show?
No, well, I mean, I'm not gonna sell us out. I'll obviously include you in on the deal.
No, but I mean, you want to star in that TV show?
Oh God, no. God,
so
no.
Do you want to have a more handsome avatars? Do you want to do that?
No.
Puppet men?
No, I'm just not gonna go that route. So we'll see how that works.
You won't even talk about yourself?
No.
I can't stop talking about me. That's why it's gonna be so fun this weekend at 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's fun.
On Sunday morning, it's basically like you're giving a freemium sermon. It's kind of cool. I dig it.
You know what? I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, so you can have a sermon. I don't know how much I'm going to talk about atheism stuff. I'm sure there's probably going to be some questions related back to that, because I'm just trying to fill the room with my own fans. Let's be honest here. If you are in Montreal, goddammit, show up. It's going to be a good time anyways.
Actually, just a quick thing before we go, I wanted to mention this quickly. One of the good atheist fans got in touch with me on Facebook yesterday and was telling me about basically about how awesome the Amazing Meeting is, and telling me about this other convention called Dragon Con, which has basically what he calls Dragon Con is like a collection of a whole bunch of different conferences together, so they pool together and get like I don't know what the fucking more research needed. Yeah. So, but it's in Atlanta, so I think we can actually make it there really easily.
We can.
Yep.
We can make it there.
We can.
Hey, where's Atlantic City?
Hmm.
Where's Atlantic City?
New Jersey.
Is it?
Yes.
It's not in Atlanta.
No.
It just makes sense to me that it should be.
More research.
Oh, that was great. Okay, with that, we're going to wrap things up, and we're going to catch everybody for the bonus show.